Tonight, if you would, put your finger in chapter 136 of Psalms. And I want to read a couple other verses besides that. Then go over with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 1. You know, you look around, I was talking to Brother Sisson today about, he was talking about the signs of the times all around us. And it could be fearful to some that would not be ready in case Jesus came back. It can be excited about the fact that we may be living in a time in which he does come back. But there's all kinds of signs that we see that reminds us that that we're living in those days. But I got thinking about one. I don't know why I got this on my mind. And I want to share with you just a couple verses and a thought once we go back to the book of Psalms. But in Romans chapter number 1, look if you would in verse number 21. Now remember, he's talking about in Romans chapter 1, people in which the wrath of God is going to be poured upon. It's people who, even though they've clearly seen that there is a God, yet they've rejected God, and some of them has turned away from God and worshiped other things. And later on in the same chapter, it talks about those men that would leave the natural use of a woman and cling to a man, and women that would leave natural use of a man and cling to a woman, and that God would give them over and give them up to reprobate mind. Reprobate mind means that they no longer have any shame, no longer have any conviction, no longer have any conviction about what they're doing. They don't feel it against nature. They don't feel it sinful. They're able to do it because God gives them over and their conscience is seared. But in the same token, he says in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. Look if you would over in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now, I know most of you know this, but I want to lay a groundwork for a thought. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, it gives us a whole list of things that's going to make it dangerous during the time in which we live. Verse number 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's the next word? Unthankful and unholy. They're not going to know how to be thankful to God. And by the way, if you're going to be thankful, who are you thankful to? You say, well, I want to thank my mom and dad. Well, who gave you your mom and dad? Who gave your mom and dad the things that they needed? Look back, if you would, to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It said in verse number 18, in everything give what? Thanks, for this is the what? Will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Somebody said, well, I want to know what do I need to do to be in the will of God. Can I say something? I don't believe you ever ought to stir emotions up just to stir emotions. But I believe we do wrong in our church services when our services are like a funeral home and there's never any praise given to God. There's never the thanksgiving that he deserves. And sometimes we ought to just be moved with the fact of wanting to stand up and give thanks to God. Look, if you would, over in Hebrews chapter number 13. And then we're going to go to Psalms. It's talking about Jesus here. And it says in verse 14, chapter 13 of Hebrews, "For here have we no continued city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." That is the fruit of what? Our lips giving what? Thanks to his name. Now, turn, if you would, to the book of Psalms, chapter 136. We're reminded here in a group of Psalms that God is faithful. He's faithful because he's never broken a promise. Therefore, we trust him. We have confidence in prayer because God is faithful. We trust God to do the things that he promised he'll do, and we trust him to be with us because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. But in Psalms chapter 136, this Psalms was used when David brought the ark back to Jerusalem. It's also used in the dedication of the temple of Solomon. And Hezekiah used this. The unique thing about this Psalm, chapter 136, is the fact that it has the same words at the end of every verse. Now, some people believe that it would be sung in two parts. The first part of the verse would be sung, then the last part would be sung by a group. And this last part is the same thing over and over and over. "For his mercy endureth forever." Now, his mercy in the Old Testament is like loving kindness. His mercy is sort of like grace is in the New Testament. And here for 26 verses, we are reminded of things that we need to give thanks to God for. Israel is one reminded as they sing these psalms to the Lord. As they worship, they sing these things, and they're reminded of a couple things. And so each time at the end of the verse, we are told, "For his mercy endure forever." He's not only good to them in that, he's good to everyone in that. He's good to us. We shouldn't only thank God for what he's done for us. We ought to thank God that his mercy endures forever. That everybody else has opportunity to find the goodness and mercy of God. Let's begin reading and looking at a couple things, if you don't mind. And if you notice some of those verses I read, says the danger in these last days is that we would have children and people that would be unthankful. We have a whole lot of people that's quick to take, but we don't have many people quick to thank. And a lot of times they have a hard time thanking you. And it's like we have raised a bunch that just expects it. We have taught this generation, not all, but we've taught a lot of this generation that they deserve it to be just given to them. That's why you have socialists running in this country. And you see a lot of people offering to vote for them, and most of it's young people in school, because they don't have enough sense to think things through. They've been brainwashed into thinking that they deserve everything free. We raise them in our homes to stick their hand out and say, "Give me." Give me more. I want the high price thing. I want the most expensive thing. I want it. I deserve it. But when you get married, you find out something different. I was talking to some of the boys this last week. I told them, they said they're finding out a little bit about responsibility. They were talking about how quick money goes and how hard money comes in. I said, wait till all the bills got your name on them. Wait till everything comes in. It's got the hand out wanting you to feed it. But what we need to learn to do is be thankful. And we need to learn to live down a little bit. Be thankful for what we want. And not be so desirous of what everybody else has. But realize that God gives. And sometimes, I know when Chris and I started out, we had a lot of just basic things. And over 40-some years, we've accumulated things. She calls it junk. I call it treasure. Kelly calls it junk until he needs it. Then it's treasure. He don't ever go to the parts store. He never goes nothing. Now some of you all learning to do that. You need it? It's just hanging around. Just call me up. We'll find something somewhere. But anyway, the point is, we've accumulated things. But what we've done is we taught our children when they get married, they got to have new cars, new houses, new this, new that, and they don't have the money to pay for them. And most of the time, what tears a home up is finances over those things. We need to learn to be thankful. I know I get after these boys sometimes with their shoes. I think women's bad with shoes. These boys are bad with tennis shoes. They'll have one pair on, have another pair on, have another pair on, have another pair on, have another pair on. I just paid $150 for it. $150. I had a pair of canvas Converse I wore till my feet turned black. I wore them when it was wet, when they was dry. I wore them because that's all I had to wear. My feet turned black running around with those things. Somebody said, well, mine makes me run faster than jump higher. I did all right. Got to learn to be thankful. Psalms 136, stay with me just a minute. Let's go through these. I just want to stop and give us a couple thoughts. I thought of these things and wrote some down and read and studied a little bit, and just want to share these with you, and they're basic things. But you know, it's not basic when God says, the thing that God's will is most for us is to be thankful and give thanks. Somebody said, what should we teach our children? The first thing is be thankful and give thanks. Look, if you would, in one. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? Good, for his mercy endureth forever. We are to thank God for all his goodness. Not only for what he does, but for what he is. And who he is. And how good he's been. Look, if you would, in verse 2 and 3. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. In other words, we see that he is deity. He is a God above all gods. He's Lord above all lords. Why are we thankful? Because of who he is. I was watching a lot of the Jews talking with President Trump today when he was signing the bill or signing that decree. And I was thinking as they were talking about Jehovah, and they were talking about different things with Jehovah and different things with God. And one of them made somebody that was there made some kind of comment like, it doesn't matter what God you serve, but it does. It absolutely matters because there's only one God of God, Lord of lords. And the reason why we're to be thankful are because we know who he is. The reason why Israel was to be thankful is because they had Jehovah God. They had the God above all gods, the Lord above all lords. Now we have Jehovah Jesus, and he is Jehovah God. He is part of the Godhead, and he is just as much Jehovah God as God the Father was. He's Jehovah God. That's why we call him Lord. And that's also why the Bible says in the book of Revelation that when he comes back, he's going to have two names that's written on him. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You know why? He's Jehovah. We have the true living God. So we ought to be thankful for that. Give thanks to God that he is the God above all these other gods. Not only that, but notice he would. And verse 4, on down through 9, he says, to him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. Did you ever stop to think about God and his great wonders? How many of you ever stopped to think about how many times you breathe a minute? Most of us sit around, we breathe, and we don't even think about it. How many of you have sat there and talked to yourself while I've been preaching? Some of you probably find something like this to do. Count your heartbeat. You don't go around thinking, heartbeat, 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 heartbeat. But you have an autonomic nervous a system in your body where you automatically, your heart beats 60 to 100 times a minute. Just beats, fires. You don't have to sit and think about it. You know, as often as we breathe, as often as our heartbeat, God performs miracles everywhere. Everywhere we look, he's doing great wonders. The creation that he's done. Did you understand the split timing that everything has to do? How the sun and the moon works within itself? How the orbits, the system orbits around each other, and all the things that takes place. Animals, creation, new birth. It's amazing. You see the split timing of things. And when our knowledge has got to the point where we study atoms and we're able to split atoms and we're able to understand atoms and understand that God made all that. And he makes everything to work just the way it's supposed to work. It's amazing. When you think. And here the psalmist says, Israel, give thanks to God, the one that you have, for his greatness, his perfect universe that he's made. Look on, if you would, in verse 10. He says in verse 10, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. Brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that divideth the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. Did you ever understand Israel? I was listening to, I believe it's Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of the president. I believe he was the one talking about this today. He's a Jew. He's a practicing Jew. And he was talking about, I believe he was one, or one of them was, but I believe he was the one doing this, talking about the battles, how that God was with Israel and the battles that God had fought Israel. And what the psalmist wanted Israel to remember and give thanks for is all the enemies that had been conquered. I was telling young people at school today, just as a thought of a morning, the world fights and they do everything in their power. We have such an advantage because I was reading a verse that talked about our help come from heaven. Isn't it wonderful to look to the hills from whence cometh our help? Isn't it good to know that we have somebody that can intervene from heaven? It's like Brother Porter was talking about. You know, to hear the pundits talk about it last election, President Trump didn't have a chance. Hillary had it already won by landslide. But something happened. Something strange happened. And I still believe things are strange are happening. But you know what? It's wonderful to know that he conquers our enemies the way he wants to conquer our enemies. Isn't it good to know that you've got a God that will save you and be with you and not leave you and not leave you to the enemy? And here he used the example. He wanted Israel to never forget what he saved them out of. How he brought them out of Egypt, how he conquered their enemies. He wanted them to rehearse that to their children and to the children's children, write it on their foreheads, write it on their post of their houses, and just continually tell the children about it.
Amen.
Why? So the children will be thankful. Look, if you, and by the way, young people, you know, the guy that was here today, the other night, I hope you young people listen to him. He was telling about a little bit about the history of the Bible. History is one of the greatest things in the world to get into, to learn to be thankful. If you'll ever read the history of the church, you can't help but be thankful for the people that carried out and was able, when they were dying and being crucified and being burnt, being skinned alive, being fed to animals, yet they continued on so you and I might be saved. The Bible that he was talking about, the fact that they held on to the Receptus Textus, the text that was used for the King James, and the fact that they promoted that, they were persecuted and killed in every fashion in the world. But I'm glad that they held on to it and made it possible that you might have a Bible in your lap and you read God's word for yourself. You see, when the universal church, the Catholic Church, began the persecution, they took and made it illegal to have the word of God. They wanted only the hierarchy of the church, their church, to tell you what the Bible said. And boy, that's a dangerous place when you get depending upon somebody else to tell you what something says. I was watching a little bit today of the deal that President Trump went through just coming through his election, that how the FBI schemed against him and did all these things against him to try to prohibit him from doing it. It's amazing. You wouldn't think, but how dangerous it is when your own law enforcement can turn against you and plot against you and do the things that they've done. But anyway, thank God we have God. Look, if you would, in verse 16. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Ammonites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of the Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. So he goes back and he talks about how he directed his people. He led them by a cloud. Led them by a pillar of fire, and he defeated great kings and great armies. That's why they were to give thanks. And we need to give thanks because he directs his people. He leads us. Look on, verse 23, or 22. The Bible says, even a heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembereth us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Isn't it good that God's mercy endures forever? Not only do we have a God that loves us, but we have one that forgives us. We have one that is our Father. We have one we trust to. And here the Bible says, even in our low estate, he still remembers us. David said, that he knew that he was dust. I'm glad that God reminds us that we are dust, and I'm glad that God understands our low estate.
Amen.
He remembers us and never forgets us. Look in verse 24. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 25. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. And you know, he was reminding them how that he provided for them, how he fed them. Let me say this before I read the last verse and close. I've said this many times, and you young people, listen a minute. You all don't understand. I've had the privilege of being in a third world country, and I know some of these men that's been in the military has been too. I've had the privilege of staying a week with some very poor people. They were an Indian reservation in lower parts of Panama in Central America. Many of you heard me, but some of you haven't. They ate rice one time a day. That's all they ate every day. They might find a few fruits. They might find a few nuts somewhere through the woods. But for the most part, they had a big old black kettle and they eat rice. They drunk water or coffee. The water they went and carried from a creek. I saw some of the boys carrying up, big old steep hill. It was about as steep as going down the hill right there to the lake. And I saw them only, it was about two or three times as long. And here they had big old water bottles and jugs with something across their shoulders, and they were carrying up that hill. Young boys, teenage boys, one after another, big old steep hill. Carried up there, and they drink water. I told you the story about giving some little kids cold water. They never drunk cold water. We had ice water. And we gave it to them. They'd dance around and sing and rejoice because they'd never tasted cold water before in their life. I saw some of the little kids had a sucker a while ago. We wanted to give them a sucker. She said, no. She says, just one? He said, they don't know how poor they are. If they ever taste a sucker, they'll never be satisfied with rice again. Let them eat rice. And he said, if you ever feed them a meal, whenever we went out and I left, we went out and we were sitting there eating at a missionary's house, and of course all the windows are open, there's no windows. We were sitting out on the front porch, and we were eating, and there was about 25 of them with their children standing there watching us eat. About as far as Cameron and them on the back seat back there. We were sitting there eating, and they just stared at us the whole time we were eating. They had some fruits and things like that from Costa Rica that we'd had, and they did fix those for us. And I hadn't ate no fruit or anything. Only thing I got without besides rice is I had one of the missionaries give me some jalapenos. And I squeezed the juice on my rice every morning for breakfast whenever I eat it. But we were sitting there eating, and I told the missionary, I said, I can't eat while they're watching me. I said, give them my food. He said, well, I can't. I said, why? He said, the chief says if you ever give them food, they'll quit working for food. They work to earn their food, and if they don't work, they don't eat. And if you start giving them food, they'll quit working. And he wants his people to work. And young people, listen to me. Never in their life had those teenagers ever tasted a Coke. Never had they ever pulled into McDonald's and got a hamburger. They didn't know what it was like. And by the way, they didn't know what it was like to walk around with a phone, laugh and play. The boys your all's age was not playing. They worked from the time sun rose till the sunset went down. They had things for them to do. What I'm trying to get across to you is this. Learn to be thankful. You take it for granted. But somebody has put you here instead of there. Somebody has made you free instead of in an oppressive country. Can you imagine? Before we conquered Saddam, his sons would go around and they'd see a wedding going on. Now picture this, guys and girls. You know what a special day it is to be standing there with your wife and your to be husband, be wife. I mean, it wasn't long ago that Hope, you and Jesse got married. Now imagine this. You were in Iraq then. They saw the wedding going on. Here come his sons busting in on your wedding. You know what they do? Take the wife and take her over here and rape her. And why they held the groom at gunpoint. And he had to sit there and watch them. You know what they could do about it? Nothing. Except die. So when somebody asks you to stand and pledge to that flag, maybe it's time to be thankful a little bit for what you got and where you live. It's not this way everywhere in the world. You know why everybody wants to come into this country? Because this country is the greatest country in the world. And we have privileges nobody else has. So learn to be thankful. Take a few moments and understand how good God has been to us. Amen. Let's stand. I was thinking of, before you sing, the other day, how many of you was with us the other day when we saw the boy playing basketball against his internment that didn't have a leg? I told Sunday what happened to him. He was a missionary son at 5 years old. He was in one of those foreign countries, third world countries, and they had to do surgery on his leg. They didn't use sterile techniques, and you know what happened? Infection set up, he lost his leg, and they had to cut it off. If he'd been here, it'd been no problem. Chances are he'd have his leg and he'd be walking around. Just don't realize how fortunate we are, folks, in such so many blessings. Amen. Let's sing, Brother Porter.